This week's star has had a long and interesting career. His first picture, made some years ago, Destination Tokyo, is still a highlight in the memory of many motion picture fans. He, of course, has made many, many other motion pictures, finds time for an occasional trip abroad, and also to do an occasional stage play. Now, as a freelance artist, he's in constant demand at all the studios, and we feel very fortunate indeed in having secured his services for this week's play. So, welcome, Mr. Robert Hutton.
Thank you very much, Les. It's nice to know that I'm in constant demand. My press agent keeps saying that, but up until now, I haven't believed him.
Well, you have been busy, I know that.
Well, yes, I have been, Les, and I'm very grateful.
I know you are, Bob. I also know that you're always in a big rush, but I do hope you'll take a minute after the play to talk about some of your activities.
It'll be a pleasure, Les.
Thank you, Robert Hutton. And now, here is our announcer. Curtain is up, and here is the play.
My name is Jones. A pretty ordinary name, and I've always been a pretty ordinary guy. Up until a couple of months ago. And now, because of the things that have happened, I'm here. Here in the violent ward of Bellevue Hospital. They think I'm crazy. They think that everything that's happened has happened only in my mind. I suppose you know something about it. It's been in the papers. Well, don't believe everything you read. I didn't kill my wife. Where is she? I don't know. I'd been married to Maud for 7 years, and for 7 years she'd been finding things wrong with me. Now, I'm an easygoing fellow. All I asked was a comfortable home, someone to talk to, someone who'd scratch my back if it itched. We could have been happy. I had a good job and liked it. And earned pretty good money. But that wasn't enough for Maud.
I'm sick of these chair covers. Why can't we get new ones? Why, when Mrs. Allison came over the other day, I was ashamed. Yes, really ashamed to let her into the house. She has such a lovely apartment, and goodness knows her husband isn't any more intelligent than you. In fact, I think he's stupid. So surely you can provide as well as he does. And anyway, I don't see why
Marty.
You are every bit as anxious as I am to have our home look nice. And then...
Marty!
What?
Shut up.
What? Are you speaking to me?
Do you see anyone else in the room?
Of course not.
Then I think you can assume that I'm speaking to you.
Oh, is that so? Well, let me tell you something. This is my home, and if I can't speak my mind in my own home, I don't know where I can. And don't you tell me to shut up when I'm trying to show you that we're too good to live in this pig pen. If you think for 1 minute that
I'm
going to...
What you fail to realize, Maud, is that a man has nerves. Nerves, Maud, nerves! I like the chairs the way they are. I like the whole house. Because it's the best we can afford.
Then why don't you make more money? Why do you force us to live like paupers just because you're satisfied with your job? Haven't you any pride? Don't you care how your poor wife has to dress? Don't you... Where are you going? Jones, where are you going?
Well, that gives you an idea. Of course, I know a certain amount of needling from a wife helps make a man successful. But Morty overdid it. She drove me out of the house. It was her voice, not what she said. It was... just the irritating sound of her voice. Well, I walked around for a while and cooled off. Then I got to thinking that maybe it was my fault. Maybe Morty did deserve something better. And as I turned towards home, I decided that maybe I should try to get some things to dress up the house. On the way, I passed a little junk shop, just a hole in the wall that I'd never noticed before. Right away, I got the idea of buying Morty something. So she liked old junk. She liked old glass bottles, candle holders, and funny ashtrays and stuff like that. So I went in.
Good evening. Come in.
Oh, hello. I just thought I'd look around for a gigot or something for my wife.
By all means. It is a nice thing to do. You are happy with your wife?
Huh?
Your wife. You are happy with her?
Well, sure. Well, sure we're happy. Why?
I only wondered. There are many married people not happy. No.
Has my wife been in here talking?
I have not had the pleasure.
Oh, I thought maybe... Well, what'll I get?
Shall I make a suggestion, Mr. Jones?
How'd you know my name?
You live in the neighborhood, do you not?
Sure my wife hasn't been in here?
Yes, Mr. Jones, I am sure.
What are you smiling at?
You do not seem able to decide what to buy, Mrs. Jones. May I help?
Well, yes, I want something, something women like. How about that old teapot over there?
The teapot? No, that is not for Mrs. Jones. I think this bottle would please her.
What, you mean that plain old cut glass bottle?
Oh, but it is more than a cut glass bottle, Mr. Jones. It will make your wife very happy.
Is it an antique?
It is quite unusual.
Well, let's see. Well, it's all clouded up inside.
Do not worry about that. This is a very special bottle, Mr. Jones. Believe me, it will be very welcome to your wife.
Well, it's only a bottle to me. But if you're sure she'll like it, I'll take it along. But back it comes if she doesn't. How much?
$1, Mr. Jones.
A dollar for this wormy old bottle?
Yes, Mr. Jones. It is worth many, many times that.
Well, okay. Who am I to know about these things? Well, here's your dollar. Guess I'd better be getting home now.
Just a minute, Mr. Jones. I have something very important to tell you about the bottle.
Oh?
Keep the glass stopper tightly in place. When you remove it, hold the stopper firmly in your right hand, not your left. Do not leave it on a table or anything. Keep it in your right hand.
Oh, a big mystery, eh? All right, Skipper, I'll keep the stopper in my right hand. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Jones.
Well, Jones, you meant well, but what you thought I'd want this greasy old bottle, I don't know. You simply have no sense of values, do you? Imagine paying a dollar for an old worthless bottle.
The man told me you'd like it.
And you believed
him. Well, how was I to know? You collect junk like this, I'll take it back tomorrow. Oh, there's one thing, though. I wonder what the guy was talking about when he said to hold the stopper in my right hand. Here, let me see that thing a second. I don't see why it... Holy mackerel, look at the smoke pour out of that thing.
Jones, look! The smoke! It's not smoke! It's a man! It's a...
Morty! Oh. Hey, Morty! Hey, who are you?
Master, I am at your service.
Well, where'd you come from?
From the bottle, Master. I am come to do your bidding.
You came out of the bottle?
Yes, Master.
Well, get back in it. Well, for crying out loud, he did it. I better stick this stopper back in. Now. Morty, wake up. Morty, he's gone. He's back in the bottle, Morty. It's all right now.
Oh, Jones. What happened?
Well, a fella came out of the bottle, but he's back in now.
Oh, what? Well, that thing, was it in the bottle?
Yep.
Oh, what on earth was it?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think I know. He called me master. He said he came to do my bidding.
Jones. I just can't understand why you'd bring a thing like that to me.
Hey, I wonder if that guy in the junk shop really knew his stuff. He said that bottle would make you happy.
Happy? It makes me sick to my stomach. Get it out of here.
I think maybe it was a genie. You know, a sort of magic guy that can get anything for you you want?
Well, I don't believe in such foolishness. Throw the thing away.
By gosh, Morty, I'll bet that's what it was.
I don't care. Get rid of it.
I'm going to open that bottle again and have a talk with that guy.
You're not going to open that thing in my house.
Step back, Morty. And don't worry, he's harmless.
I won't have you opening that thing again. Jones! Jones!
Don't worry, Morty. This smoke smells funny.
Jones, stop it!
Ah, here he comes now.
Master, I am here to do your bidding.
See, Morty?
Take it away, I don't believe it.
You're here to do my bidding, eh, Jeannie?
Yes, Master. Anything you wish shall be yours.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about some new chair covers to convince Morty you can do it?
Deign to close your eyes but one fleeting moment, sire, and your wishes shall be obeyed.
No funny stuff.
Assuredly not, Master.
All right. Come on, Morty. Close your eyes.
Deign to open your eyes, Master.
My goodness! Look, Jones! All our chairs recovered in such wonderful material. Oh, and look, a new rug, new curtains. Oh, that's wonderful.
Say, that's pretty good. Hey, How about a fireplace? I've always wanted a fireplace instead of that fake mantelpiece there.
Yes, master. But blink your eyes twice, and it shall be done.
Come on, Morty. Blink twice. Well, look at there. A real fireplace, and it works, too.
Jones, do you realize what we can do with this?
Ask for something, Morty.
Well, first I want a closet full of chic dresses and shoes.
It is done, mistress. Your closet overflows with the finest clothes.
Oh? I'm going to go look. Don't go away. Wait till I see what they're like.
Jeannie, can you get us anything we want? Anything at all?
Yes, master. I am here to answer all of your commands.
Can you get anything Morty wants? Now, that's a tall order.
Her wishes shall be fulfilled.
Oh, good. Now, let's see. I think I'd like a new pipe, nicely mellowed and filled with a fine tobacco.
It is in your right hand, master.
Oh, well, so it is. Say, Jeannie, why do I have to hold this stopper in my right hand all the time?
It is not absolutely necessary, master.
No? Well, the little guy in the store said it was. Why'd you say that?
It is difficult to say, master.
You're holding something back. What is it?
Am I commanded to answer, sire?
Sure.
If I had the stopper, master, I would never be forced to live in this bottle. I would be free.
You mean you'd run out if you accidentally got hold of the stopper?
Yes, master. I must answer truthfully. I would.
Well, maybe after we get Morty all she wants, I'll give you the stopper.
Ah, master, I look forward to the day.
Jones! Jones! Oh, the clothes are beautiful. They're the latest styles, and he was right. The closet's full.
Oh, good. Want anything else?
Certainly. I want some new silver.
It is done, mistress.
Two beautiful new cars.
Yes, mistress.
A lovely house in the country.
Yes, mistress. It is done.
Many different kinds of jewels to wear and...
Hey, Morty, whoa.
It is done, mistress.
Well, it looked as though Maud was finally going to get everything she wanted out of life. Her mind was on furniture and jewels and clothing. But even with the excitement of all that was happening, I kept wondering if now... I could get what I really wanted out of life.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Sound of Her Voice, starring Mr. Robert Hutton.
Well, I suppose you figure that from then on, everything went pretty well with us. That Maudie, with everything she desired, finally got around to being the kind of wife I wanted. Well, for a while, it looked like it might happen. Maudie had money, servants, houses, furnishings, everything she could think of, including chairs you couldn't sit in and pictures you didn't like to look at, you know? But then she turned social, signed us up for a rumba course at Arthur Murray's and filled the place with the best people. Got so I hated to be around. I stuck at my job. I liked it. And besides, how did I know how long the genie would last? Anyway, Maudie got sore about it.
Why don't you quit that old job, Jones? We're rich now. We have fine homes, everything in the world we want. How do you expect me to hold up my head with our new friends if you go around dressed in those old clothes? And why do you insist on keeping that old Morris chair?
Maudie, I like it.
It doesn't fit, Jones. It's a passé piece anyway.
I like it. Say, I know what to do. Let me just talk to the genie a second. I'll show you what I'll do about the Morris chair.
Oh, don't be silly.
Yes, master. What are your wishes?
Genie, my wife doesn't like Morris chairs. So would you make me another room, a good-sized room? Put my Morris chair in it and some books, a good radio, and a liquor closet.
It is already as you say, master.
Already? Well, okay, thanks. You may return to the bottle now.
Yes, master.
Yeah, it's a shame to keep a nice guy like that cooped up.
Jones.
Oh, yeah, Morty?
Do you think putting your Morris chair in another room solves anything?
Well, yeah, I thought it did. You won't have to see it now.
Jones, that's not the point. We're part of a different life now. You can't go around like a tramp anymore. We're important people today.
Important? What's so important about us?
Oh, Jones, you're exasperating.
Listen here, Morty. I don't want to use the genie to make myself better than other people. I'll use the genie to make myself comfortable, and that's all. You're not going to make a snob out of me.
Are you saying that I'm a snob, Jones?
That's what it looks like from where I sit, Morty.
Well, I like that. You have such terrible manners, I'm ashamed to have you eat at the same table with my friends. I'm doing everything I can to improve our lives, and
Morty,
what
would you say if I asked you to scratch my back?
Oh, Jones, you're impossible.
I'd be glad to scratch your back if it itched.
I don't care to scratch your back. And I don't itch, you imbecile. And hereafter, I'm going to make my social plans without you.
Well, it was that same old irritating voice. I didn't mind so much what she said. It was just that her voice grated on me. Got on my nerves, you know? Well, finally one night when Morty had a lot of her friends over, caging drinks and fawning around for money, I got bored and went upstairs to get away. I felt kind of lonely and I wanted someone to talk to. So I pulled the stopper on the glass bottle and let the genie out. He looked kind of tired.
Master, it has been a long time. Have you still more wishes to demand of me?
Oh, no, I don't want anything. Just someone to talk to. You haven't anything to do right now, have you?
I am at your service, Master.
Fact is, Genie, I think we've had too many wishes already. We've got everything we want, but Morty's just the same.
It is often so, Master.
What does a man want, Genie? He wants his wife and a comfortable home. He wants her companionship. He wants to be able to talk with her about anything, work together, live together. And if his back itches, Genie, he wants her to scratch it, just like he'd scratch hers.
That is true, Master.
Man doesn't care about elegance and social things. Not if they take away companionship and understanding. Of course, I never really had companionship with Morty. But at least there was something back in the old days.
If Master would permit, I have a suggestion.
Let's have it.
Perhaps another more beautiful, more understanding woman.
Another woman?
Yes, Master. A woman who loved you so terribly that your slightest glance would swell her heart with joy. Your merest frown give pain to her whole being. A beautiful, lovely woman who exists solely for you.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that, Genie. What would she be like?
She would be all that you could wish of a woman.
All? No, I couldn't do that, Genie. It wouldn't be fair. Would she scratch my back? Would she sit and talk about nothing at all as long as I pleased and never nag at me?
Master, she would be all that your most imaginative dreams could desire.
It wouldn't be fair, but I am tempted.
But say the word, Master, and she shall be standing at your side.
Well, there's no harm in giving it a try. Bring her on, Genie, and I hope she is all you say she is.
I am committed to the truth, Master. Now, deign to look out the window but a moment, sire.
Jones.
Oh.
I am Diane.
You are?
Yes, Jones. I have come at your bidding, as I always will. I want nothing more in the world than to keep you happy. My heart bursts for love of you. My eyes grow weary with the radiance that shines from your dear face. Take me in your arms, Jones. I am yours.
Well,
be not afraid. These arms are made to twine about you. My mouth was formed to be pressed to yours. My very thoughts are for your comfort.
Well, you're beautiful.
My beauty is for you, my dearest Jones. Come, let us sit down here together. My heart is bursting with words of love to tell you.
I can't believe this.
Nor I. Never did I dream I would discover one to whom I could belong so completely. Come sit beside me, my dearest Jones.
Well, all I can say is the genie certainly knows his stuff.
You find me pleasing.
Pleasing? Diane, you're the most beautiful woman I ever saw in my life.
And you are handsome and kind beyond my wildest dreams.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come sit beside me, my dearest Jones. Let us pour out our hearts to each other.
All right. Could I ask you a few questions?
Ask them, my love.
Do you care about how I dress?
I think only of your fine mind, your comfort. Whatever you wish to wear is best of all.
Do you like Morris chairs?
If a Morris chair is your favorite, then it is mine. We will fill the house with them.
Well, how about concerts, opera, and all that society stuff?
I enjoy only what you enjoy, my dearest Jones. I go only where you go.
Oh, and one other thing. Diane, would you object to scratching my back?
I'd love to scratch your back. Lean forward a bit and I will do it now. Softly, gently, lovingly. Like this.
Diane, you will always do this for me, Diane?
Always, my dearest Jones. I will prepare the finest foods for you. I will keep your home as you love it. Your way will be my way.
Can you scratch a little higher and to the left?
Here?
Yeah. Oh, there.
Oh. Jones!
I dropped the stopper.
What do you mean, sitting up here with that woman? Who is she? Jones, answer me. Who is she?
I dropped the stopper. Where'd it go? Quick, before the genie gets it.
Jones, who is that woman?
The stopper. It's under the chair. Quick.
End your search, master. I have the stopper at last.
Genie, be a good guy. Give it back, please, just for a while.
Jones, I demand to know who that woman is.
Genie, please don't run out of me now. Not yet, Genie.
I must go, master, and I must take with me all my belongings. Prepare to return to your former life, master. Oh,
you mean you're going to take Diane, everything?
Yes, master, it must be so.
Oh, you wretch. You selfish beast. You've ruined us. You and that woman.
Shut up, Maud. Listen, Jeannie, take it easy. We can make a deal. Don't be too quick.
It must be, master.
You deliberately planned this, Jones. You let the genie get the stopper. You resented everything I did. Now this is your way of getting back at me.
Jeannie, look. Look, you were a good guy. I was your friend.
Yes, master, that is true.
Then do one thing for me, just one thing.
He won't do anything now, you fool. You've ruined us.
What is it you wish, master?
You can't leave Diane.
No, master.
But you can take Morty with you. You can do that, can't you? Take her with you.
It will be as you say, master.
Oh, to think. We had all this, and now it's going to be taken away from us. Oh, and I worked so hard.
I am ready to leave now, master.
Just a second, Jeannie. One last chance. Morty, stop crying a minute. Morty, I want to ask you something.
Well?
Morty, would you scratch my back when you feel better?
No. I'll scratch your eyes out first. I hate you, Jones. I hate you.
All right, Jeannie.
Goodbye, master.
Ruined us, that's what. Just as I succeeded in becoming somebody. Just as I... Oh, what's happening? Jones!
Goodbye, Jeannie. Goodbye, Morty. Goodbye, Diane. That's what happened to Morty. It was her voice. It grated on me, you know? You could say I killed her, but I don't think she's dead. Well, I told them my story, and they sent me here to Bellevue Hospital. I guess I don't mind, really. It's nice and quiet here, and they leave you alone. There's only one thing I'm afraid of. She might come back. The genie might not be able to stand Morty's voice either. And he might send her back. Don't let that happen, will you?
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movietown Radio Theater's presentation of The Sound of Her Voice, starring Mr. Robert Hutton, who returns in just a moment. And our star, Mr. Robert Hutton. Bob, thank you very much for a swell job.
Thank you very much, Les.
It was quite a thrill hearing you play a new type of role, Bob. Now, tell me, how did you like Paris when you were over there making a picture a little while back?
Oh, very much, Les. It's quite different from working in the Hollywood studios. I'd never been abroad before, and I got a real bang out of seeing the many sides of Paris. It's a wonderful city. And it's been especially nice working with you and with the wonderful cast you selected to help me.
Well, it's been a real pleasure having you here, Bob.
Oh, and before I go, Les, I'd like to tell my wife and my two boys, Kenneth and Cordy, that the play is over. They left me out of the violent ward at Bellevue, and I'll be right home.
Thank you, and goodbye, Mr. Robert Hutton. And in closing, we issue to each and every one of you a most cordial invitation to join us each and every week and hear outstanding stars in stories especially selected for them. In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. Robert Hutton, as Joan. Gracia Leopold as Maud, Edward Clark as the shopkeeper, Wilms Herbert as the genie, and Vivi Janis as Diane. Music was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. The sound of her voice was written by Robert Presnell, Jr., edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell.